I want to welcome everybody to Shore Acres City Council meeting, Monday, March 23rd, 2015, from 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call.
Nancy Snell, President.
Bill Moyer here.
Bo Bunker, President.
Greg Moses, President.
Richard Adams, President.
Next line of business, we pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses, meetings attended. I didn't attend any meetings this last go around. However, that being said, I think everybody's aware of the shipwreck that happened recently we had out in the bay. I did contact Mayor Bechtel and offered the services of our city, our public works, our police department, if we could help in any way or my services. He was very cordial in saying he appreciated it. Right then they asked for everything under control. We pretty much let lay at that. However, I want to commend Mr. Stahl on something. I was out of town working, when this first happened, we had a lot of residents have concerns, which is understandable. I had some concerns for people wanting us to go ahead and put signs posted, no fishing, shut things off and whatnot. We did reaction. We wanted to be proactive and not reactive. But we followed up with the federal government over there, NTSB, I guess it is, and some others, and wildlife park games, finding out about the spill, the amount of spillage that they've done, how it could harm us. We did put out some information basically, you know, we use common sense. If you do fish, we wouldn't advise you to eat the fish and things of that nature. It worked out very well. However, throughout the night, myself, I was up all night in the city I was in, and I know David was because he was at the meetings. I was on the phone at 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning. So I wanted to say a special thanks to David because he definitely did very well for me while I was on, following up, making all the calls of that nature, and to make sure our citizens were safe. So I just want to put that out there. A reminder that Trash Bash is coming up on the 28th. I believe we're starting, it's 9 to 2, Dave? 8 to 2? 8 to 2. The Trash Bash will be provided for the Control Acres. Make sure you bring gloves and ready to come do some work if you can. We appreciate it. Easter Hunt is going to be April 4th. It's going to be at 9 a.m. And we're going to do that in the park area like we do every year. Bring the mosquito spray. I hope there's none out. Possibility to make it. With that being said, we're going to move on to 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This will be an opportunity for the public to address the council and comment on items which appear on the agenda. This is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law to deliberate back and forth. So if you have something you have concerns on, please do not get offended. But by law, we cannot respond to them. We will take note and maybe respond to you afterward, but during the council meeting, we cannot just let you know. With that being said, I'm going to start with the far right of the room and go this way. Is there anyone over here that would like to speak? And if you'll state your name and your address and tell us what you have to say.
My name is Dave Gill. My wife and I, Melody, live at 1327 Windleaf Drive. We live at the end of Windleaf Drive, at the dead end on the left-hand side, right next to the sound barrier that's being installed. A quick history of the sound barrier. When the overpass was designed to be put up or installed, PxDOT came to a certain group of homeowners who live along the border of this sound barrier, or close to the highway, and they, PxDOT offered to install a sound barrier. Of course, everybody agreed to that. Also agreed to the color and the height and everything of the sound barrier. That was in 2010 that we were notified about that. February of 2010. It has been over 5 years, and as you can see, progress has been very, very slow. We have not had full access to our backyard along with other neighbors in the area.
About 7 months.
What we're asking from the city council and mayor is that they can get in touch with TxDOT and assist us, the homeowners, with Bayou Forest Subdivision Homeowners Association, on getting this sound barrier completed, done, and out of the way. It has turned into an eyesore. When people enter Shore Acres off of 146, the first thing they see is all that trash out there, all that rebar, all those construction equipment's been out there for years now. They also see debris and the outhouse that is out there. People do stop at the outhouse, and we've seen them from our porch. Stop at the outhouse, use it, turn around, head back out. There does not look good. So just to kind of recap, we're looking for some help to get this wall done, out of the way, and over with. Not only for the people on the north side of Shore Acres, but also for the subdivision on the south side. Thank you very much.
Thank you so for your time. We appreciate it.
I'm Jason Smith. I'm 1326 Windleaf. I've actually brought some pictures.
Yeah, you can advance them left and right there. I'll turn it off.
I'd like to talk to you about the sound barrier wall that we're having issues with. Again, like you said, since 2010, we've been dealing with this. It was something that was supposed to be done.
Okay, go ahead.
It was something that was supposed to be done rather quickly. We've been talking to TxDOT as the Homeowners Association for the last 3 years continuously. We've been told a year, it's a year away, a year away, a year away, three times now. We're still fighting with them going through this rain that we just recently had. Again, going on what he's talked about in the area that it doesn't look good, and we have some trash buildup and stuff like that. We also are having some drainage issues with the wall and what they've done. This is just a picture of the drain
is on the right, the left side. See on the right side, around the circle, on the outside of the circle.
I did that. It's not changing.
I think.
Sorry.
Well.
You can just do it with the arrow and go through. What has happened is the drainage is backed up completely. As you can see by some of these pictures, next, it is backing up into everybody's yards. It is flooding our subdivision. We have ponds in the back of our homes. Those ponds, all the water from the streets have drained into those ponds, which caused those ponds to flood over. The fish that we have in the ponds are flooding out. It's flooding into a ditch. This is my yard and my neighbor's yard. As you can see, it's a heavy flow coming out of the ponds because all the way from the drains, there's nowhere for it to go. So it's backed up. They've completely blocked the normal drainage for that area. There's the fish. That's the flooding. That's where the wall is going to be. There's currently a wall on both sides of that. Let me see if I can get
that picture right there. He's standing where the wall is supposed to be.
Okay. So if that wall was there, that's a section of a wall that's still currently missing, as you can see by the pylons that are there. If that wall was still there, this flooding would be even worse and going up into our homes. And as you can see, this is a picture of the overflow for the ponds. So when the ponds were to raise, it would overflow into that valve and go out to the bay. Well, as you can see, all the water's coming from the streets and everything into our ponds and filling our ponds up. Again, that's the sound barrier wall that's being installed. This is my neighbor's house. That's a big 55-gallon drum that's almost underwater. It's actually floating. So I would imagine it would be underwater. This wall, we have fought with TxDOT and been dealing with them, like I said, for the last 3 years continuously, because everything that they're doing, it's not being done properly. You can see that there's multi-levels in it. It goes up and down. Nothing matches. They're now saying that they're only going to paint the outside. The inside's going to be a hard concrete, which was not agreed upon. They have documentation that it was supposed to be a stone inside. This is a bridge that covers one of the ponds, that crosses one of the ponds. It's usually about 3 foot below that. And as you can see, it's completely flooded the bridge. And again, what we're asking from the city council is assistance from out here. And what we're saying, we've actually been told on more than one occasion that they've come to the city council and said that they were trying to do something for the subdivision, and the city council said that they weren't, that they hadn't heard anything about it and weren't aware of it. We're asking that the city council become involved and stop what's going to happen. I think we only had about 3 inches of rain in the last, over the weekend, and we've had seen those ponds raise 4 to 5 foot and flood everything. So if we did get a heavy storm like Ike or something else that were to come through, we'd have a mess. And this is behind there. It's doing the same thing. This is normally a walkway completely through there, and it's all underwater. It's bringing in trash. It's bringing in to make sure it's done properly so there is no flooding and no adverse effects from the sound barrier walkway. Okay. I'm going to give my phone number. I'm also the president of the Bioforce Maintenance Association, so I'd love to hear from any of you guys on if y'all can help or not. It's 832-473-9759. And I've also got an email address of president@BF Institute as well.
Thank you, sir. Great. Appreciate your time.
I had one more thing to ask. Okay. The other problem is, too, is that the trades are not talking to each other. The people who install the sound barrier, do the concrete work, are not talking to the utilities people, the people with the gas lines and water lines. And I really don't think one group knows what the other group is doing. And that has been a big holdup. No one's talking to anybody. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Jerome McCallum, 526 Shore Acres Boulevard. I wanted to make the mayor and city council aware of, on Friday the 13th, 2 weeks ago, I had the pleasure of pulling out the intersection and getting hit, which was my fault. But the response of the police department here, and especially of Officer Sosato, was outstanding. And Chief did a great job. And one of the other things, while I'm up here, I'd like to go ahead and suggest is in the near future, the Maritime Center is going to be open. When that Maritime Center is open, the blinking lights at Shore Acres and at Broadway need to be changed to traffic light. Because the first thing my wife asked me when I got home was, did you see the car? Well, if I'd seen the car, I wouldn't have pulled out. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
TxDOT,
they have to do a survey. That's
well,
a statement
of fact.
Yeah.
The
TxDOT
will have to do a survey because that is.
Actually, I want to overstate the fact that it has been done. We do not meet the requirement.
Oh.
It has been done. That has been done.
Maybe
2 years ago?
Yeah. We looked at the warrants for doing that. It's a four-way stop or a traffic signal. The number of accidents doesn't meet the criteria. But we've been documenting that, so you have added to the record.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to help.
But what I would say, the fact is that model, it has been done. We were nowhere near close to the amount of wrecks that you have to accomplish. I don't make the laws, unfortunately.
And that's for a four-way stop?
Yes, ma'am. It's for lights. That, yes, ma'am.
Michael Snow, Society Baywood. Just listen to that. I understand there's been a survey done. When that college gets opened up, it's going to be a lot more traffic. Is there any way that we can have another study done to make sure that with the increased amount of traffic that's going to be going through there will not, you know, be any adverse effect to any of the city?
Sam Krause, 1103 Shore Acres Boulevard. Just like to thank everyone in City Council and City of Shore Acres. My wife and I will be moving out. Been very happy living in this beautiful community, and we will miss it. I've enjoyed it. And we have a 2-acre wooded lot. And Lake Windcrest, we didn't move there for the lakes. We moved for the woods. $270,000.
Don't get plugged in there. Thank you, Sam. Thank you very much, sir. Good to meet you. Anyone else on the side would like?
Porta potty. And when the door opens, the smell is too. And we went to the meeting, 5 years ago when the architect was talking about this. He said they were going to have a hole that like that were big enough for a Coke can to go through so our yards would not flood. But I don't see a hole in that wall. It seems like that would be... it has to have some kind of way if the surge comes up again for it to go to drain out. That was one thing I was concerned about. And then the stink with each other because all these different workers come out there and they're doing different things and they break pipes and they pump out water and do all kinds of things and then and they don't, I don't know. My husband goes out there and talks to him all the time.
Yes, sir.
David Davenport, 3505 Bayou Forest. I actually hadn't planned on speaking, but something occurred to me while I was sitting here, and my wife would be disappointed if I didn't bring it up for the record. When you come into Shore Acres Boulevard, the city sign that got put up there, the big elastomer screen there, I don't know if you guys realize it at the time that was installed, and maybe some of my other neighbors and stuff have realized this too.
I, 5 years ago, talked directly to the engineers and asked specifically about drainage because, as you know, ago we were just pretty fresh in the mind about, and I was teaching at what was once Bayshore Elementary at the time. It was all pretty fresh in our minds, and I wanted to know, where's that water going to go? When you wall that up back there, we don't want that avalanche, and we barely missed flooding in our home just by a few inches. So all it's going to take is a little bit to push us over the edge. And I know that's what you guys are saying. And so anything, you know, that was a, we keep breaking records for stuff, for weather all over this country. And it's not going to take much to flood our homes. And so I asked that direct question to him, and he told me the exact same thing that you just heard, that there was going to be space for flow. I was concerned because it's graded to flow out towards that channel, and that flow was going to be stopped by the wall. And he said they engineer it to be able to flow out, and that it wouldn't flood. We talk about the Coke can. But I just wanted to lend my voice to reiterate what has been said, and I remember speaking directly to the engineer about that particular topic. So, happening, the engineers need to either revisit that or find out.
Yes, sir.
Just because we have the wall already installed on our side, there is, in fact, an area that a Coke can go through at the bottom of those walls. The problem is when they came in and did the elevation, all the properties are sloped down, and I hope that all of y'all go out and look at it. All the properties are built up high, and they slope down to the TxDOT property. Well, what TxDOT did was they took the low and the high, and they averaged it to put the wall in the center. So if you go look at it, everywhere where the wall is going to be is actually below the section of the property that's on the low end. So what they've done is now all that water is building up at the base of the wall, and even if it builds up, there's still it's completely underwater. Those sections that you see are underwater, and you can probably see them in the pictures. There are sections there, but they have actually dug everybody's yards out, and all this elevation has been removed, and they've stuck the wall below that elevation area. And y'all see the wall, it's a mess. I mean, it's going boom, 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 boom. You know, they've changed the elevation in all these different locations for exposing drainage. The design that they put in the wall is off level. They're supposed to paint that. It's going to look horrible when it's all painted or painted offset. It's just it's a mess. But for the drainage, they do have those holes in there. They're just useless because they're underground.
Judy Dietrich, 3518 Valley Forest. And we're on the pond on the south side. And when the tall wall thing came up, we were allowed one boat because we're an association, a pond preservation association. And we had to go by strict procedures to do anything in that pond, but yet TxDOT comes in there and does whatever they want. Because it's supposed to be a wetlands protected area. Anyway, yes, the walls do have inlets and all that. We did not want the wall, most of us. Now, the ones on the corner and all did because the traffic is right there. But the ones at the back of the pond, like I said, we got one boat, which I did not think was fair at all. But anyways, my deal was I talked to the engineer, and I told him that, okay, put the wall, but leave the wall out on the back part of the pond because we're worried about our pond flooding. We sit lower. The houses you go around our cul-de-sac are built up higher, and they have a slope that goes down to the pond. There's several of us that are leveled out in our backyard, so it doesn't take much for the pond to overflow and encroach upon our property. So we're in, if the pond gets to where it overflows and there's nowhere to go. Now, when we had this big storm, they put in a flow valve over there on our pond to the bayou so that our water wouldn't be taken out and not filled up, because in the past we've had problems with the water getting low, and then we had problems with algae and whatever. So they put a flow valve in. That was to kind of pacify us, I guess. But anyways, but when the water came up, the tide came in, it went over that embankment into our pond. Our pond went about 3 feet above normal, and it's still high right now. But so if it's going to stay like that now and we get another high tide, what are we going to do? And they do not maintain their right-of-way. We know this for a fact. You can go along any place in Houston where they have walls. They do not maintain the right-of-way. All it takes is a little bit of grass and weeds, trash buildup, and all those little inlets are blocked. So then the water doesn't go anywhere. And, of course, the engineer says, well, y'all can get out there and clean it. No. Why should we have to go out there to clean it? You can't even get back there because you're going to sink up to your knees in the mud. So how are they going to keep the right-of-way? So, no. We're not happy with the wall. And then they tell us it's going to be elevation to our house. We have a two-story house. It absolutely does no good for us to have the wall because we can stand on our back deck and look over the wall. It's nothing to do with for us. It's not protecting us one way or another except putting us in danger.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Okay. We're on to item 7.0.
Good evening. We did spend quite a bit of time monitoring the impact, potential impact of the ship collision in the ship channel. As you know, it had it closed, the ship channel closed for a period of time. Unfortunately, we didn't suffer any adverse impact to our community, so that's the good news. Last time we met, we were just about to embark on our first direct deposit payroll for employees, and I'm pleased to report that that went off without any significant issues. So tomorrow will be for round two. R&B contractor on our round one water and wastewater project, which had substantial completion a year ago, is still working to bring that to closure. They have relocated twice antennas. They now are in the process of installing a repeater on the SCADA system so that we can have reliable control of lift station number two and lift station number one. For a while, we lost control of water plant number two. We've got that restored. So they were continuing to work on that last week, and this week we expect them back out and hopefully to bring that to a conclusion. That also impacts our ability to control and change the programming on the sign that was talked about at the entrance of the city. So we're currently running the static program and don't have the ability to update that until we can get that SCADA wide area network issue resolved. And that's all I have on my list for this evening.
Any questions for Karen?
7.2. I would call your attention to the report that's in the packet. On the very first page, our revenues in excess of expenditures. We have received $405,949 more than we have expended, so that's good. I'll skip the monthlies and go to the checking accounts, and you can see at the end of the month of February, we had $606,711.12 in the general fund checking account. Some of those funds were drawn from text pool in the first quarter, and that will be a transfer back. So yes, that's a large number in there, and that will go back into our text pool account. The utility fund has $24,108 in cash in that checking account at the end of the month. The next item is our community development block grant money. And at the end of February, we had $249,401 in that account. As you know, that's a pass-through account for our grants. Some of that money is for the coastal improvement project, the engineering, and this week has already gone out. The remainder of that, about $100,000, is our retention on the water and wastewater projects that we will continue to hold until that project is completed. The next page is the text pool. Text pool account has $655,469 in the text pool at the end of the month. Interest rates continue to be extraordinarily low, so we've only earned $106 in interest this year so far. The next page is our certificates of deposit. We have present value for certificates of deposit for a total value of $249,742. The next page is our property tax accounting. You can see as of the end of February, we have received $801,333 in current taxes and $5,754.55 in delinquent taxes. A significant notation here is that, like in January, in February we gained another $900,000 in tax value. So that's a positive thing. And the last page of the financial report is the sales tax. And our general sales tax revenue through February was $6,099. And in our road maintenance sales tax, which is a 0.25%, the $1,525. That brings our total sales tax revenue for this year to date to $31,933 for general sales tax and $7,983 for road maintenance. That is the financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Consideration approval of invoices. The council's had time to review it. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Mr. Moyer, I have a second. Item 8.2. Consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2015-178. Requiring that recordings of the council meetings be used to satisfy the Texas Government Code in lieu of written minutes approved by the council. That will be all of this now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I took the Government Code, Chapter 551.020. I'm not going to put myself to sleep with it. But it states that our minutes from our council meetings are available for public record and inspection. And that means, you know, on the website, when you go click and it says minutes. So we've been doing the recording now for a couple of years. I know a lot of citizens really like to be able to listen to the procedures. And that is actually June 14th, 2014, June 9th, 2014, and January 12th, 2015. They're not on the website. that says they must be available for public records. So you can go Freedom of Information Act if we really want to do this. So what I'm asking council to consider is to allow the recording, because the audio recordings are on the website, to act as the minutes so that we are covering ourselves as, according to the state law that we must under Texas Government Code. It is available. It is considered to be available for public inspection, even though it's only audio. That's not saying do away, but this is just another way for us to cover our bases to make sure that we are doing what the Texas Government Code says we should do. So I would.
On the snail basically. Do we have a second? Motion fails. Okay. Moving on to item 8.3. Discussion and consideration of possible action related to proposed Texas legislation affecting the city of Shore Acres. Alderman Boyer.
This right now is sort of informational. As you know, we're in our biannual legislative session, and legislature, certain members of it, sort of taking extraordinary interest in cities. Cities may be taken. This ranges all the way from a referendum that was held last fall up in Denton with regard to the regulation by the city of Denton of oil and gas activities there. The cities of Austin and Clean Bags, ordinances in some cities regarding the preservation of monument trees. And like I said, there have been number of actions that have been proposed by the legislature to essentially get in the way, and we won't continue that, but I would hope that we can monitor these actions by the Texas legislature so that the authority of city governments, local governments, is not impinged upon by folks who are not really aware of what's going on in those communities. I'm trying to keep track of some of it. I've seen some summaries from the Texas Municipal League, but I think it's just a heads up that there are folks in often these days who seem to want to run the business of city councils and communities without having any direct knowledge or impact on their own. So I appreciate the mayor providing the time for this brief summary. And I'll keep track of this, and if we see any actions in municipal league, sees any cause for us possibly weighing in with other communities as far as expressing interest in what's going on. Take that up at a little time.
Alderman Moore? Any questions from the council?
Thank you, sir. We're going to adjourn the meeting at 7:37. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. Don't get to put your phones back on the ringers.